Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to this session of American Conservative Party Radio. My name is Tracy Coyle. I am the chairwoman of the executive committee and your host this evening. Last week, I covered a number of issues. Tonight, I want to talk to you about why I'm involved in this party and why I think we need the American Conservative Party. Let me give you some history. My parents were born in Ireland. My father came to the United States in 1956 and joined the U.S. Army shortly thereafter. After training, he was stationed in Germany, and on his first leave after getting there, he returned to Ireland and talked my mother into marrying him. No small feat, because they hadn't seen each other in 2.5 years at that point. They spent more than a year in Germany. Oh, she did say yes. They spent almost more than a year in Germany before my father came out of the military and settled in Chicago. My mom followed him shortly thereafter, and she was very pregnant. I was born and raised in Chicago about 2 months later. My father worked for the Chicago Transit Authority. He was a union worker. My mom stayed at home and raised what would ultimately be 6 of us little siblings. The 1960s in Chicago were the age of the political machine. Daley was mayor, and union workers voted Democrat. I saw firsthand how things worked. Politicians gave favors to those that voted the way they were encouraged to vote. If you voted right, you got new sidewalks, clean garbage pans, and a quick pickup of that old sofa you wanted to get rid of. That was how local pothole politics worked. And as long as you were on the good side of it, it worked pretty well. I never saw what happened if you were on the wrong side of it. In 1970, the Nazis marched in Chicago. Some of you may remember that long history ago. It was a pretty big deal. They marched 4 blocks from my house in my park, the park I grew up in. They were against my parents, not just Jews, but all immigrants. It was the dark side of our rights. I was too young to get all of what was going on, but I understood it was a big deal. That summer, my dad was changing a tire in front of the house, and some young punk was driving his hot rod, tore down our street, and my father just turned and bounced his beer can off the windshield as the car passed. The guy slammed down his brakes and came out swearing about the damn immigrants needing to go back where they came from. Well, my dad was standing there with a tire iron in his hand, and there was about 30 witnesses, so he just got back into his car and burned rubber the rest of the way down the street. My first experience with the anti-immigrant. My first vote was in the presidential election of 1976. After Vietnam and Watergate and Spiro Agnew, I was definitely looking for something different in the White House than Republicans. Jimmy Carter was the first person I voted for president. He was certainly different, and by the time 1980 came around, I understood how badly I was mistaken. Change is not always good. Carter was so weak, we're still dealing with the consequences of his actions today. In 1977, I joined the military, and the Iranian hostage crisis started shortly thereafter. Let me tell you, it drove people nuts. People in the military spent hours talking about how we would finally get a chance to go in and get our people. That was American territory, our embassy, our property. But we were just sitting on our hands. By 1980, I was ready for someone that talked tough, carried a big stick, and decided that the military was not some kind of little toy you put off in a field somewhere. Reagan offered me a presidential candidate that, you know, actually respected the military, wanted a strong military. When he got going in, I was an air traffic controller in the military for a while. So when he took on the unions, the air traffic controller union, a bunch of my friends, people that I worked with, worked in civilian facilities to cover for them. You know, it was just another example of unions that just, you know, drove me crazy. Democrats continue to say today, they did then, that they were for the working guy. They supported unions. But the only unions I saw were corrupt nightmares. Political patronage was the absolute currency of the realm. If Democrats and the unions were hand in hand, it was a two-fisted reach into somebody's cookie jar, usually mine. I voted for Reagan twice. I voted for Bush twice. But Bush had really pissed me off with his no tax pledge that was only until he got elected. I voted him the second time because it was the lesser of two evils. You know, who wanted another Democrat? I had already done that once with Carter, and I certainly didn't want to repeat it. And his actions with the Gulf War were great. But, you know, he didn't go after Saddam, and I think that was a mistake. I think a lot of people think it was a mistake. And we are certainly continuing to deal with the consequences of that choice. In 94, I was a strong supporter of the contract with America. I think it was a great idea. But once in power, you know, most of those Republicans, you know, they're just paying lip service to the idea, you know. They signed a contract. We didn't, so I guess they figured they didn't have to stand up by it. I was still an awful, naive little political person. It was going to take a lot more years before I was going to get smart enough to realize that, you know, politics and politicians are not what they appear to be. I was so glad to see Clinton go. And so happy to vote for Bush. And 9/11 absolutely locked it in for me. Bush was the absolute perfect choice at that time. I can't imagine having Gore in there on 9/12. You know, he would have instituted committees. We need to have people read into why they did this. And just, but let me tell you, Congress, that's our fault. We let things go the way they were. How many times have we voted for the lesser of two evils and just got plain evil? Is it any wonder that if we are willing to compromise our principles to elect people, that they understand the principles can be compromised? But I really found out how much I didn't know in 2005. Bankruptcy reform. After 8 years stuck in Congress, it was finally getting the support the credit industry wanted. A Republican Congress bought and paid for, and a Republican president that would give them whatever they wanted. The law is so bad for families, but hey, don't take my word for it. Bankruptcy judges that had to implement that law were against it. Trustees that had to deal with it on a day-to-day basis, against it. The professors that taught law in all the universities around the country, they opposed it. Now, these groups are not exactly conservative, and maybe that's why people kind of ignored them, but they are unbiased. These are people that don't take sides in these cases. I wrote lots of letters. I posted on my blog. I posted on other people's blogs. I got involved in every single conversation I could find about it to try and tell people, please don't do it. And I sent a letter to Bush and to Orrin Hatch and to Kennedy and to Feingold and to Herb Kohl, who's my senator, Feingold and Kohl. I got no response from any of them, although Feingold did vote against it. Anywhere the discussion about the law happened, I tried to get involved with it. I was one of those lunatics we see protesting some law that's going to end the world as we know it. And instead of being the one doing all the ignoring, I was being ignored. How many laws that have no impact on my life that honest good people were opposed to that I just ignored? They're lunatics. What's the big deal? The world's not going to come to an end. I was one of those lunatics. I had abdicated my responsibility to be informed and involved. I got it. I sent a letter to Bush. Told him I was leaving the Republican Party. They were bought and paid for special interest supporters and not my representatives. I was pissed. But I had hope. Maybe. I waited. I hoped the Republicans would learn their lesson. They didn't. The immigration debate last year, they still don't get it. The pundits, the Republicans, GOPs, they just still don't get it. McCain certainly doesn't get it. I am the firstborn of immigrants, legal immigrants. I remember the annual public service announcements that said, please register if you're an alien. Every January, it would go for weeks. My parents, who have voted Democrat virtually their entire lives, were livid about the immigration bill. Absolutely beside themselves. Tell them they're being racist. They worked to become citizens. There was no welfare, no support systems back in the 60s. My parents could not get assistance when my brother was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy, because they were not allowed to touch government assistance. Not allowed. And the earmark issues is just another small example of the complete disrespect for the citizens of this country and the principles it was founded on. I hoped we would get a candidate for president that would talk about the errors the GOP had taken, had done, and that it would, that conservative candidate would lead us back towards some conservative principles. And I supported Thompson. I even bought a couple of domains and put up a website in support of him. John McCain is the anti-Thompson. When it became clear that McCain was going to get the nomination, I decided, me and the Republican Party are done. The Bill Quick is the owner of the blog Daily Pundit. I've been reading him for a couple of years, and he came up with the idea for the American Conservative Party and invited his readers to join. I was member number 5. Bill built the website that we use today, and he gave us a chance to find out if there were other people, enough other people, interested in this fight to return us to conservative principles. The more I have spent reading things like the Federalist Papers, the writings of Jefferson, Paine, Mill, the more I realize we need to return to the basics. A country for us, by us, and a government that serves us, not us serving them. I've been joined by a fair number of people on the party, and some of them are members of the executive committee. And I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce a few of them to you. Bill Hinman, Alan Reason, Jackie Hosfeld, and Dan Dressel are all members of the Executive Committee of the American Conservative Party, and they're joining us here today, kind of giving introductions themselves, and we'll see how this works, where there's a bunch of us talking about things that brought us to the American Conservative Party, why we think it's important. Dan!
Yes, ma'am.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Welcome to the show.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Can you hear me fine?
I can hear you very well. Thank you.
Dan, tell me what drew you into this little party that we're trying to throw.
Well, after listening to your history, I'm quite impressed that you've been as involved and as focused on politics for as long as you have. I'm a Southern California native. Really had no interest in politics or policy or politicians, really up until living in New York and witnessing 9/11 up close and personal. I've always been a conservative in thought, but never really thought that policy or politicians made a difference until I saw the major responsibility of the government, a complete failure in that responsibility, and I started really paying attention at that point. And, you know, over the last 7 years, I've been staunchly on the side of the Republicans up until basically the nomination of McCain, the one guy that didn't really seem to understand what conservatism was about. It seemed to be all about McCain and what McCain wanted to achieve, and McCain being a maverick and getting the attention. And much like you, I saw Bush as the perfect man to have in, the perfect individual, I should say, to have in the White House at the time, because he has always been very clear and very focused as to what it is he believes and what he's striving for. I've been exceedingly disappointed by a number of things since then. You bring up the banking bill, which I agree was an absolute travesty. For me, really, it was the fact that we needed to have a groundswell of opposition to the immigration bill. Was the only reason why that was killed, why McCain-Kennedy didn't go through, was because of the groundswell of opposition. And to think that politicians were more than willing to sign on to that, it completely blew me away. And to nominate the man who was at the forefront of that on a very base promise that, oh, well, we won't deal with that right now, pretty much pushed me over the edge. And I knew I could no longer support a party that chose that as their standard bearer, chose a centrist more than anything else, someone who seeks out approval. And there's a lot of things that I really do respect about McCain, but his policy choices and his understanding of individual rights and responsibilities is definitely not one of them. So that's,
I think it's
what brought me here.
I think it's one of those things where you sit there and go, here's somebody that says they're conservative, and you really like them to act upon those conservative principles, but he just starts from a position of compromise so often.
Yeah,
I want to bring in a couple of others.
Yeah.
Bill?
Yes, I'm here, Tracy.
Welcome.
Well, thank you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, why you got in here.
Sure, be happy to. I'm a Southern California boy also, was born and raised down in Southern California, grew up all over down there, grew up there at a time when it was a good place for a kid to grow up, didn't have to worry about, or at least the folks didn't have to worry about, or thought they didn't have to worry about, us kids being out unsupervised, playing with our friends, hanging out, going to the shows, walking around town. Went into the military in 1960, and I had always been the conservative one in the family. All of the rest of my family are libs, and that's fine. That makes for some really interesting dinner time conversations. But I've always been, at least in thought, like Dan, a conservative. I have to tell you, even as involved as I am with the American Conservative Party, I really don't like politics. It has a dirty name, and I think that happened when politician became a career choice as opposed to being a citizen legislator and going in, perhaps unwillingly, but nevertheless going in helping to craft laws, then coming out of the legislature, and then living under those laws. Also, like Dan, after 9/11, I said, I have to get involved. I cannot not be involved. And so I started looking around. I have been a Republican since I was old enough to register to vote. And for a great deal of time, that served me well. The beliefs of the Republican Party, which they pretty much acted on, were congruent with mine. And then they moved. The famous saying by Ronald Reagan was, "I didn't leave the Democratic Party, the Democratic Party left me." Well, I feel the same way about the Republican Party. I didn't leave it. I'm still the same conservative guy that I've always been, but somehow they wandered off the reservation. And so it's time then, if I truly believe that, as I do, it's time then to say there has to be an alternative for conservatives that can articulate our beliefs, show why we believe that, and then act on that and find candidates that will adhere to that and be, in fact, citizen legislators. I guess bottom line is I want to make a difference. I want to work at something and make a difference with conservatism. So that's my story, and I'm going to stick to it.
That's a good story to stick to. Jackie.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Glad you
made
it. Me too. Tell me why this party, this American Conservative Party, is important to you. Why are you here?
Again, as a couple other people have said, it was after 9/11. I wasn't really aware of politics before that point. After 9/11, I started researching into why people would do such a thing and what our response should be. When Bush first announced the war on Saddam, not going to call it the war on Iraq, the war on Saddam, I was scared. I followed that part throughout the whole interim between the two stages of the war against them, and knew that we were going to have a showdown at some point. I was just very much dreading it. So when he announced it, I researched that in a great amount of detail and realized that this was something we had to do. It had to be done. He had to go. Since then, I started researching other positions and found out that these positions are pretty much what I've been thinking about on my own while I wasn't aware of what other people were thinking in that time. I've also been aware of all the talk people have been doing over the years about how much the entrenchment and how much corruption there is in politics. I think that's one reason why it took me so long to get involved. Didn't think I could do anything, so why should I? It's just the way it is. I think with the internet, though, that it's given us a chance to get together and to try to approach this from a different perspective, with new technologies that can get people together from across the country. I'm from Philadelphia. We have people from California and all over the country getting together on this. And I certainly hope. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to suggest that, you know, I think you are, you know, representative of people like me that, you know, said we have to take responsibility. We as individuals have to take responsibility for the government we have. You know, this is our responsibility. We're supposed to be doing this. And it's time, no matter how much we don't like it, no matter how much we think it's not what we do, we have to do something.
Yep. And I would like to speak.
You have to do something. No more. No, I don't think so. I think it's important that we do things, that we take that responsibility and act upon it. I want to bring in our last member of our executive committee, not the last one to join, not the least. Alan?
Yes, I'm here.
Good evening. Glad
Good
you're
evening.
Here. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're here.
Well, basically, my whole life I've been a political junkie. And I used to read all the newspapers, every book I could get a hold of when I was a kid. I started reading when I was four. So I've been a Goldwater Republican. I campaigned for him when I was in college. He's been my political idol, hero, if you wish to say. And I've been disappointed in recent years, in particular with the Gang of 14 on the judges. The Republicans refused to use the nuclear option, and that was sort of the straw that broke the camel's back for me. The Republicans have become Democratic light. They don't stand up to the Democrats. They compromise, and it is time that something comes from without, because it's not coming from within, that's going to change the political landscape. So that's why I am with the ACP.
You know, I accept the notion that politicians have to compromise. I accept the notion that, you know, not all Americans agree with us on all the subjects that are out there, and that there are more than one way to do things. But I'd like Republicans, I'd like conservatives to start at the conservative position and then give up some ground, if necessary, to get to that compromise. You're right. McCain starts at the compromise position. He doesn't start at the principled position. And that drives me crazy about him. And we, the people on this show tonight, and the people that have begun working on this party, are facing a great deal of opposition by traditional Republicans, even some traditional conservatives, that we have to vote for McCain. If we don't vote for McCain, that it's a vote for Obama. If we don't vote for McCain, we are getting ourselves into a whole lot of trouble. And I just keep repeating this to people over and over again. When your choice is the lesser of two evils, you're voting for evil. And the only way you can stop that situation from occurring is to stop playing that game. It is important for people to understand that, you know, the United States survived Pearl Harbor. It was a nightmare 5 years, but we survived it. The United States survived 9/11 with barely a blip on the economic indicators. We survived Carter. We survived Clinton. We'll survive an Obama. We may have to deal with the consequences of Obama for years, like we're dealing with Carter and we're dealing with Clinton and we're even dealing with both Bushes. But we will deal with it. We will continue to go and grow and be the light that, you know, the world sees. I refuse to be scared into voting for people anymore. Time for me to take responsibility, and I'm going to take that responsibility. I want to thank all of you for joining me tonight, and I want to let all of our listeners know that hopefully executive committee members are going to host these sessions in the future, and I'll take a little break, and I'll be calling in, see what's going on. In the meantime, good night, Bill.
Night, Tracy.
Night, Dan.
Night.
We're gonna do the Walton thing here.
I knew that was coming.
I knew that was coming. Jackie, have a good evening.
You too. Thank you for hosting.
Glad to be here. Alan, I hope you have a good evening.
I will.
And we welcome both you and our listeners back next week, same time. And I think we're going to have a discussion about what exactly the American Conservative Party stands for.
Sounds like a plan.
Have a good evening, folks.
Good evening to you.